Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about a city in crisis mode. That's right, a city in crisis mode. And that city is none other than Fort Worth, Texas. And tonight, we're looking for solutions with some people who have previously run for public office. But before we begin, a disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, our host, or any advertisers. With that said, Let's Talk Fort Worth. To my guests, if you would press 1, because I'm not familiar with some of the numbers that are on the line. So if you would, those that are going to be on the panel tonight, if you would press 1 now, and that will let me know that you are one of my panelists. Okay, great. Good evening, 705-9-70-817-705. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. 817-526, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. 817-446, good evening.
Oh, 446?
That's you.
Me. Is that me? That's me. Hey, Carrie, this is Bob. Okay.
And last but not least, 817-521, good evening.
Good evening. This is Antonio Twin Harris.
Hey, Twin Harris, how are you? Well, thank you all for joining me tonight. Can we all agree that we are looking at a city that's in crisis mode? Can we all agree on that before we begin?
Yes.
Yes. So everybody can pretty much agree that the city is in trouble.
Yeah, they're getting this thing.
Okay, great.
It's past in trouble. It's dead.
Indeed.
Go ahead.
Indeed.
I'm sorry.
So Bob says it's dead. Was that you, Kakaris, that said you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Okay. There's a lot going on, and it needs some remedies, and it needs some attention.
I agree. Wayman Brown, was that you that also said that you agree?
Yes, it was.
Okay, let's say this. Do we blame the problem on the last administration and it's just kind of a continuation, or do we say that we blame our problems, our current problems, on the seated council and mayor? Who's to blame for the problems that we're seeing today?
I would say both.
Well, I was going to say, Carrie, it might help a lot. You go ahead and address which one you want to speak. That would help a lot so that we don't walk over each other and all
that
kind of. But I appreciate you that.
Let's start with you, Bob.
Okay. And what was the question again? I'm sorry. Run it by.
Who's to blame for the things that are going on in our city right now? Is it the last administration and it just kind of carried over, or are we saying that this is about our current administration?
I would say it is a combination of things between the people, the city, the last, and I think this started some time ago, decades ago, of getting people out of our, not to be involved. And so it's a combination of things. Us, too, because we have the total power to control the city if we could just get people to wake up and get involved, just a little involved, that's all, just a little. But they're conditioned not to over the decades. So it's a combination, mm-hmm. and that, and this latest group in there is kind of like the last group, but on steroids. So, if anybody else wants to comment on that, then go on from there. Okay.
Okay, Wayman, you were saying something. How do you think we got here?
It's just what Bob said. It's a combination of both, because while running, one of the themes was we need to stop having it being the Fort Worth way, and that was saying that people were already conditioned to, we're going to run it this way regardless what you guys think. It's kind of like the police force has been ran since I've been born. That is, you're going to conform versus being able to transform. You're going to have to learn how to do the things the way we do them, or you're not going to be successful. We're not going to give you any help. We're not going to help fund any of your programs. We're not going to give you any assistance where needed in your district. So it right now it's a combination of both, because I've noticed in every election, after the election is over, a lot of people will go to the people that ran and say, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that, because we're still getting what we've been getting. And the thing was, hey, if you knew that the person that you voted for was not doing nothing or not doing the things that you asked at that time, why did you continue to vote for him?
I agree. Michael Kakaris.
Yeah, I would have to agree that it's both the past and current administrations, and I think that just goes into leadership experience. You know, when you're running for, like I did for District 3 City Council or any position in leadership, you have to remember that you're taking on responsibility for not only what you want to happen, but what's been going on. And I think that when it comes to leadership, if you don't have experience in that capacity, then you can find yourself easily swayed and swindled by the nice leather chairs and wood desks, people coming in and out of your office, and forget what it is that you're there to do, which is to serve the people and to do it correctly. And as I mentioned when I was running, you know, go ahead and listen to people that came before you so you could figure out not only what didn't work, but, you know, what did work, and then draw conclusions from that work and figure out how you're going to work. You know, it takes work. And I think that very early on, whenever you're looking at elections and people are putting together their funds to go out and run and represent the city, you can see that if you don't have the large budget to be out there spending, then sometimes people aren't able to get to figuring out who you are. And that's even, you know, in my experience, you know, getting hundreds of votes with zero budget, and then you got somebody that gets out there and spends thousands upon thousands, and now they're sitting in that seat, and all you can do is, you know, hope that maybe they get started. But, you know, I haven't seen any change. I haven't seen a lot of opportunities for people to come together and ask questions, input given, you know, from those communities that need the most help right now. And along with the problems that we had to begin with, there's a lot of problems that are currently happening now, from people feeling safe, sending their children to school, to downright dirty treatment of those people that find themselves in Tarrant County Jail. You know, there's a lot that needs work, and I don't see where the work's getting done. You know, and so I'll just take it right back down to where I started, which is leadership. Where is it? I don't see it, and I know we need it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Antonio Twin here.
Yes, I would like to say that, you know, of course, it's a combination of the two. Because things have already been in place before they've been in office for some of them, and those who were in office before, they set them in place. So how much change are you going to say that, hey, I was wrong about a certain decision or putting a certain whatever out there? So, yes, it's a combination of the both. Because, I mean, me dealing with city council and seeing how things – we got a system. And we got a rigid system that has very little wiggle room and what has. I knew going into politics, coming forth from what I consider community, that it was going to be where I had to do some bending and some shaping in order to fit in that mold of a system. So we're dealing with a system, not just with the minds of those individuals going into those positions. So if we change the system, then we won't have to deal with the minds of those individuals going into that position. So it is a rigid movement and what have you. And of course, I to tell the truth, I haven't paid much attention to the political aspects of Fort Worth here lately, because I've been dealing with more of my immediate environment and seeing how things are. And so now I know and understand it's a system. It's systematically set up for certain things to happen and certain things not to happen. So yes, it is the very reason. It's the reason that it's already set in place, and then we have those who are elected that don't get in there and do that which they said they're going to do, because usually they can't do it anyways.
Well, let me ask this question. Did we pick a council that was too young, a council and mayor, that was too young and too inexperienced? And I'll start with you, Wayman Brown. Did we pick a council, too many, let's just say at one time, that were too young and too inexperienced?
I'll say no.
Okay.
I believe all candidates that ran are of the age, and when I'm saying age, I'm talking about of the mindset. Mm-hmm. They pretty much knew what they were getting into.
Okay.
But it's just like what Twin said. Did they go in with a courage to change the system?
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't want to change the system, and that's one of the things that I was looking at when I ran over in District 5, I was looking at some of the things that, based on what I campaigned on,
mm-hmm.
would these things be able to be done with, and I was looking at then, majority of the current, regardless of the current people that were already in office,
mm-hmm.
or if there were new people that were going to be coming in, what were they going to be bringing to the table, and how could it help us affect the city as a whole based on what we were going to do in each individual district? Because I think a lot of them got in, and I don't think they were too young, but they didn't assert the backing that they had of the people that voted for them. A lot mm-hmm. of them got in there, and they pretty much wanted to do some things. A little of it was grandstanding, and it got them in trouble. But at the same time, those that did want to make change were faced with opposition, and they found out, okay, this is the Fort Worth way. You got to go along before you can get along. And that was one of the things that I've seen thus far. Is they already had a system in place to where, look, guys, with or without you, we're going to do this. Now, if you want help in what you want to do, probably say in the latter half of your term, you're going to have to do what we want in the first half of your term in order for us to just even look at your proposal. So I believe they were not, it has nothing to do with their age. But like the gentleman said earlier, it had a lot to do with their leadership experience and how they brought that to the forefront.
Okay. Michael Kakaris, did we elect a council that, you know, from the mayor and the council, that was too young and too inexperienced?
Well, I'd say yes on the second one when it comes to experience, because it's a leadership role, and you need to know leadership. You need to know how to speak with people. You need to know how to deal with not being everybody's buddy. You know, you can be polite, but, you know, you don't have to, you know, play the game. And I think that's what it comes down to a lot with leadership, is being able to balance that, deal with the fact that, okay, you might get some stares or some talking in the back room or some rumors flying around or what have you. But as a leader, you take that on. You continue with the plan that you have. You put new things into place so that you can make sure that that plan is successful. You go ahead and take input from others so you understand how you might be able to execute that plan easier and better for the city. But that's a hard place to be in. You know, if you've never had leadership experience before, then it's difficult for you to deal with that sometimes. And then there's a balance in being able to be a leader and then also being able to be an effective leader. So the type of leadership that we want is the type of leadership that moves us in the right directions. It doesn't really take anything or anybody for granted, but it's a hardened type mentality where you know that there's something that needs to get done and you know about how getting it done. Age-wise, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't think that age necessarily discounts anybody. But I can see where you're coming from with the question, because you think, well, you've been around longer. You've been here on this earth for a few more years. You've been operating in society and in the city for a while, so you gain experience. But experience mm-hmm. is not leadership experience. You know, I can flip fish all day, but, you know, you tell me to cook a steak, it might come out wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think where I'm going with the question, when I say it like that, when I say youth, because there are a lot of people that are very mature for their age. So when I say young, I think I see a certain childishness with this group that I didn't see with the previous group. And don't get me wrong, Betsy Price and Shingleton and the others, you know, Gina Bivens and Flores, are a little older. So I get that. So I don't know if I see that is an age issue or it's just an immaturity issue. So I think that's what I'm really speaking to when I'm speaking to the youth issue. Is there a certain immaturity? And I'll pose this to Antonio. Is there a certain immaturity with this group that we didn't see with the last group in terms of the way they're handling business downtown?
Well, again, you know, I'm a true believer that, you know, maturity don't have age on it. And so with that being said, it's really not about being immature or mature. It's about the character of that person, that individual. Mm-hmm. I believe everybody know right from wrong from a certain perspective. And if you don't go by doing things in order for the right for the both or the better half of the city and the citizens, then to me, that's a fallacy within itself. So it's not really about the age. It's really about the character and the personality of that person doing what they intended to do when they first got in office. So if your true intentions was to get in there and make change and you don't do that, then you're fired from the jump start. I don't care if you're old, young, or indifferent. So that age don't have nothing to do with it. Again, it's the challenges of getting in there and facing a system, whether you know about it or not, learning that system and changing that system. So that's what it's about. Age don't have nothing to do with it.
I agree. Bob Willoughby, so, you know, Bob is taking a lot of hits down there, going down to the city council every week and speaking. Bob, do you feel that there's a certain childishness with this council that you didn't see with the last council, or is something else going on in terms of the way they're handling business? Is it about inexperience, or is it about a certain childishness, or the youth of the age of them? What do you consider it to be?
Well, I'm glad I got to hear everybody else speak on this because it gave me some different points and things. I still go with what I went with in the beginning was that I think being too young is, I mean, you can be mature enough at a young age to do the job, but still, this job, I think, requires, if you got the maturity at that age, go in the private market and make all the money you can while you're young. Strive there in the private market. Don't use the government as an easy way to better your life like they have, wanting a $70,000 raise, 10 months in office, $70,000 raise, okay? The thing about why I think olderness, and I'd go for something like 50 or older, is I want someone that's already had a chance in life to strive for their goals, okay? They're going on the other side of the hill now. They made it to the top or where they're going to make it at, and they're pretty well. And now they appreciate what they have received. I'd love for the rich to do this, really, because they got everything, you know? So to pay back the show, spend those latter years, you know, serving. The pay at $29,000 or $25,000 is plenty if you got, you know, you're not doing it for the pay. That's not the reasoning you're doing it. To tackle the issues, to see if you can. And the other thing is when it comes to leadership, leadership is one thing, but another thing what we're not doing is we should include the public so that we all are in this instead of people taking the lead like a dictator country. That's what I get with too much leadership. I get dictatorship. Instead of including us and them thinking that they know what's better. If you listen to Alyssa Bebek, she, you know, if you question them, to question them, you, how dare you? We are the smartest people here. So, but no, it's about reaching out and sharing all this information with general public, and that's how we get them involved, too, by sharing. And this organization does not share. We got a new billboard up, and I took a picture of this one, too. This is the second one, and it says, Welcome to Fort Worth, Discover the Modern West, okay? Now, that's taxpayers' money really going to good educational use there. It doesn't say anything about bonds, redistricting, elections, nothing, you know, about taking away our right to speak at city council meetings. No real information there, you know. It's just inviting more people in because we're being sold out by builders and that. But anyway, yeah, I kind of like someone older that's not chasing the dream, in other words, that can actually take time, and it comes with wisdom. Something with time gives you wisdom, too. Now, I'm not saying a young person can't have it even more better than an older person. I'm just saying if they do have those qualifications, apply it in the private market right now. Build your dream up in there and then get that money, whatever, get set, and then come over here and help serve your city. You know, mm-hmm. you've got time, you're able to do it. And you're able to do it with a clear mind and about being on. Another thing I want to bring up, this Maddie Parker, she hadn't had no meetings. See, our council members, mayor, they don't go out and do meetings, you know. Well, Maddie just now announced her first public meeting. I've got it right here. Anybody know about Maddie's first public meeting? Has anybody heard about that?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay, live right here on the Carrie Hines Let's Talk Fort Worth show. You can, you can, we can go and see Maddie Parker on September the 29th, Dickey's Arena. 11 to 1 to make sure there's no protesters. Maddie, you can see her 11 to 1 at the easy cost of $150 a seat. So anybody want to buy their tickets, $150 a seat, see Maddie, 11 to 1. At Dickey's Arena, September 29th. Isn't that a bargain to see the mayor? Man, I'll tell you, you better grab your tickets now. I'm going to be scabbing them outside for $200. So, wow. I mean, how you like that information? But anyway, but no, we need to get back into the public and include the public. See, like the new city hall being built, I got that information too now. It's going under construction. The difference between Fort Worth and Haltom City built a new city hall, but they included the public. They asked them first. They put it out there. What do you think about it? You know, they just told us we're going to do it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Carrie.
Get to the topic, boss.
Okay, I'm off the topic. But anyway, they're too young. I want wisdom. I want older, okay? I want them old enough so they'll die out of office before they're there too long. If we don't like them, at least they'll die out, okay? I think about 90 and above will work, okay? So, no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Listen, we're going to go to an ad, and then the next question, I want y'all to think about this. Bob brought up something that made a lot of sense. What do you think about the raise? Was it fair for this council to be seated and mayor to be seated for 6 months and then ask for $70,000 raises? I'm going to take a 30-second commercial, and when I come back, I want Michael Kakaris to tell us what he thinks about that.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Michael Kakaris, what did you think of the mayor asking for a $70,000 raise and the council asking for a $50,000 raise after just 6 months on the job?
Well, I'll tell you, it didn't surprise me. You know, you're dealing with a group of people who feel that because of their position, they're entitled. They're entitled to not giving you answers. They're entitled to not being available and on display and able to answer your questions, to take inquiries. And that just, to me, seemed like another bit of entitlement. And we talked earlier on the show about how our voters have to get out there and really, you know, put in some work so that you can get someone in position that that you feel is going to move in the right directions. And the people got out there and they voted on this one. You know, it was obvious that city council was, not worthy of that raise. And for just being there for a short time, what were they getting the raise for? I mean, you should be paid for the work that you do. I think somewhere it's written, you know, to the worker go the wages. And what work did they accomplish? Where are we? You know, a few weeks, couple months into that administration to where we can say, yeah, this is something that we should be footing the bill on, you know, as citizens. So it wasn't alarming. I could see it when I was running my campaign and I was on different radio shows or different events, just kind of learning a little bit more about what it's like to go against people that got, you know, a lot of money. Not a lot of age, you know, like what Bob wants, but, you know, enough age to have enough money. And I think that there's never a stopping point, you know, when you get to trying to figure out how to profit the best that you can. And that was just another example of it. And it's embarrassing. You know, we got council members that are having to serve time in jail, you know, due to violating DWI rules and regulations. And, you know, they're getting let off easy, and they are asking for raises. And then you got people who come up like me, people from the surrounding community that, you know, might be facing death or harm for doing, you know, maybe the exact same law violation. And it's just that's a definite separation you can see of one type of class of people and another. And, you know, going off of the age thing, though, and I don't believe that you need to have somebody there that's retired in office, you know, that can just put their full mind to how they're going to, you know, operate there on the seat because they're older or an elder. I think that there's ability for all different types of people to be successful and to help the city and the community that way. And I think that's what it comes down to with this pay, is making sure that it's not a position that you're trying to get so that you can profit yourself monetarily, but so that you can insert yourself into the community in a new capacity, which should be helpful.
I agree. Antonio Twin Harris, what did you think of the council and the mayor asking for $50,000 and $70,000 raises?
To tell the truth, I didn't even know how much the position paid when I signed up because the money didn't matter. So in other words, money matters to them.
Yeah.
It matters more than making the right decisions for their citizens. It matters to them. And they feel as though they're not, their work is not worthy of their pay. Now, I would say I don't care how much it may be or how much it's not. If you do your job, then you would deserve it. But if you don't, why would you even ask? So, again, my thing is, hey, I'm not really into the thick of the politics. I told them that, you know, I was the most passionate but the least influenced. And that was because it wasn't really about the money for me. It was about the betterment of the city and the citizens of Fort Worth. So, again, sometimes greed set in. Sometimes need set in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which one it may have been or which one it is for each one of them. For me, I know that it's going to call a whole lot of candidates next term. So, again, that's I digress with that. I digress
that.
With that.
I received that. Bob Willoughby, what were your thoughts on them? You brought up the raise. When they asked for the $70,000 and the $50,000 raise, did you feel like they were deserving of it after 6 months, or did you feel like it was really a bold move to ask for that kind of money with very little experience under their belt? And I'm going to ask whoever it is that has that noise in their background, it's a clicking or some type of hammering, if you would please refrain from doing that, because we can hear you, Cloud. We can hear you clearly. But Bob, what did you think of the $50,000 and the $70,000 request for a raise?
Made me sad. I didn't get elected. No, I'm. I don't think about the money either. Like Antonio was saying in that. Yeah, that's just too much. Well, it shows you right there. You think this is none of this helps me to want to think Young is okay. All this stuff's going against being Young right now. From what I see for these people, they want a raise like that. They even ask for such a thing is outrageous. But yeah, it's just I don't know what drugs they're doing down there, but if they got it, I sure want them to share with me too, because I don't know if I can handle this stuff. But it is just unreal. But yeah, no, I'm against about the they even ask for it right there. Ought to tell you enough that we've got the wrong people in office, that there's something wrong. You know, they even ask for it. I just can't believe that they can. Oh, you know what? You got to add that in there too. First, before they ask for it, first they rearranged the our council meetings like they did the White House or something, like they're living there. you know, cut down to two council meetings a month instead of four, moving one up to 10 o'clock for the convenience, one at 6. They wanted five, actually, at 5. But so doing that first, cutting it down to two times a month, they get a whole month off in July for vacation, and then turn around and ask for a $70,000 raise. It's just, and then now Maddie wants $150 a seat at her meeting. So, I mean, I don't know what planet these people came from. I really don't know, because this doesn't sound right. But anyway, on that one's an easy one there that I think these people are nuts and we've got to get them out of there. We're in trouble if we don't. So we need some other nuts in there, but more sensible nuts, okay?
Wait around. You know, do you think that maybe we got people in there that needed the money but took the position anyway, and now, you know, they're forced to, you know, ask us for a raise like that because they actually financially needed it? And is it fair for us to raise or give a raise increase for a council, first of all, that maybe the citizens didn't? Okay, somebody's got some noise in their background, and it's a little distracting. I'm not sure who that is. But... Okay, can y'all not hear that noise, or is it just me? Somebody's got some noise. What I'll have to do, y'all, because what will happen is I have to mute the calls in between each person speaking, and that's a whole lot of work. So I'm going to ask whoever's got the noise, if you would please fix it. But wait a minute. I think, you know, so did we get a council that really needed more money that they came to work agreeing to, and so therefore that's why we saw the request for a $50,000 and a $70,000 raise, and is that fair to the citizens of Fort Worth?
Based on what I've seen from the last administration to this one, they've been wanting to ask for a raise.
Mm.
Again, it's that sense of entitlement, like everyone has said. What they're doing, to me, it seems like they're testing the fences. They're testing to see what limits they can go to and, not one, not be called out for it, or two, see if they can get away with it.
Wow.
So when they asked for this raise, the first thing popped up in my mind was, what have you done to earn a raise in 6 months?
Wow.
What major and drastic changes have you made that's going to help impact the city, specifically per district? Because if we want to do it like that, they're saying they only ran on an incentive. They're running their campaign or running their position on an incentive program. So my thing is, if y'all want to do it like that, well, if you want to ask for a raise, we might want to see if we want to start deducting, because you're not living up to the position that you're in, so you shouldn't receive X amount of what you already signed up for in the first place. But what I would say is, go ahead.
Let me add another tier to it. Remember, just before they asked for that raise, they gave David Cook, your city manager, a hefty raise. So do you think that was like one hand scratching the other hand or something? Do you think maybe it was some of that going on?
Hell yeah. Excuse me for coming at it like that, but that's most definitely what happened.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if you're going to prove me this, we can turn right around right after that. And then you guys can ask for this, and we'll say, hey, because we have this much money now, we have a better incentive to do our job, and that wasn't what people voted them in for in the first place. Now, if anything, the money that they're asking for, you total that money up, and then come back to the table and say, well, look, guys, instead of us asking for a raise and saying we want to chop this much money up amongst ourselves, what program can we put this money into to help our city? See, they're not that kind of council. They're about greed. They're about get whatever I can as long as I'm here. And whoever else is next, you got to broker your own deal.
And let me say this. We're talking about it on Let's Talk Fort Worth because you cannot go down to city council and talk to them. If you get 3 minutes, typically if you are saying something that they disagree with, you're going to either be interrupted, your mic's going to be cut off, or they're going to call the marshal to escort you away. So we're talking about it tonight because you can't talk about it at city council. Do you agree with that, women, that you really can't talk before city council now and really say anything that's in disagreement with what they're doing?
I'm writing notes as we're talking, and that's one of the things I wrote down earlier that Bob mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that when you run for city council, in the
mm-hmm.
packet that they give you of the things that you can and can't do,
mm-hmm.
including the public is one of the things that you cannot do?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean including the public? I don't understand what that means.
I mean, there are certain things that they say you cannot share with people in your district. You cannot talk about certain things. So, like what we're talking about tonight, one of the things I was saying when I ran was I want to be a candidate that when we vote on something downtown, I want to come back to the people in District 5 and say, look, these are the things we asked for. This is what they said. These are the people that said yes. These are the people that said no. And where do we go from here? They said, no, you can't do that.
Oh.
You can't do that. That's written in their bylaws. You cannot talk about the things that you really want to get some answers to that's going to help, you know, move a problem and bring forth a solution. No, you can't do it.
Whoa. So, Antonio Twin Harris, do you think the climate has changed downtown where, you know, people used to go down there and speak their minds and, you know, the council would listen and you'd have your 3 minutes to say whatever? Do you think things are shifting down there now, like they really don't want any differing of opinions? It's their way or no way, and, you know, if you don't like it, leave. You know, we're running it and you're not. Do you feel like it's that type of mentality in City Hall right now?
Well, again, let's go with systems. See, our problem is that we're trying to take personal
mm-hmm.
individuals against the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's already systematically set up for us to go ahead and do what we're going to do, then bring it to the people. It's systematically set up like that. So this is why we have to gripe, we have to bitch and moan and all this other stuff about stuff that's already been done. I remember when they was going to bring the school, the Boys Academy, over to Dunbar Middle School, the school that mm-hmm. I went to. And mm-hmm. when I was in that meeting, they were supposed to bring us where we had the right to talk about it. But I realized after talking so much, and listen to the people ask questions and stuff like that. So I stood up. I made a statement. I said, no more questions. It is already obvious that they have already put in place that which they're going to do. Now, what we're mm-hmm. going to ask you to do is to please keep the name of Dunbar High School for your establishment, because it is now yours, because you have taken over. So again, the same thing with what's going on downtown now. Why? Because they are putting the muzzle over our mouths because they really don't want to hear us talk, because it's a bunch of jibber-jabber, because it's already set in place, it's already set in stone. Now, so what we have to do is go in and act, because I believe that we talk too much. So we have to go in and act. We got to go in action, not in speaking. Speaking is over. So we have to go in action. We need to start changing things before they start making plans. That's mm-hmm. what we have to do. So, yes, it has stopped, and they have silenced us. They have more or less put us on mute. They have frightened us. A lot of people don't even want to go and attend no more.
Yep.
The way they do that, they make you uncomfortable. So now you're uncomfortable about going. Now you don't want to be there no more. So now guess what they do? They do whatever they want to do in the first place. So, again, we need to stop allowing them to make changes without us by actions, not speaking and voicing our opinions about certain things, because our opinion don't matter, don't count anyway. So once we start being active and doing that which we want done and what we want to happen, it will continue to be that which they want it to be, and it will perpetuate beyond. So, yes, it is a grave problem. And it is unfortunate that we continue to allow them to take inch by inch to our freedoms all the way back to slavery.
I agree. Bob Willoughby, you know, Bob is going down. Listen, Bob has got thicker skin than I will ever have, because I would have lost it long time ago with the, you know, them asking the marshals to step in and muting the mic and, you know, saying you're off topic. You know, I would have gone, you know, and that other Gemini side would have come out. Let's just say that. And so I just wonder, Bob, do you see like a serious shift downtown from under the, I mean, as opposed to the last administration, where they really don't want to hear from us anymore, and they let you know that in every way they can?
Well, I've had the question whether it's thick skin or a lack of brain cells. I don't know which one. Might be a combination of both. But they don't. Well, the communication is the whole thing. And I hope everybody understands on here that we do not speak at city council meetings, okay? We are not on the city council agenda, okay? And that's why they threw out the public comment thing two times a month to disguise. It's a smokescreen. If they didn't put those two up and then took us off, they couldn't get away with this. And that's why they threw the two comment meetings up to make it look like they were really doing something for the public, moving it up to 6 o'clock and this kind of crap, to get away with taking us off the regular. So, you know, to me, if we want to do something in action, and I know there's all kind of issues. A lot of people are working on major different issues, you know, and it's good they're all doing it. But I think the one thing I'd like to see everybody come together on is to get down there and get us back on that council agenda. We belong on there. And as long as they get away with it, we're not getting any worse, okay? But if we do, then whatever issue is more important to you, you can bring it down in front of more people. You have a better chance of getting it. We get back in control. It was a weapon, and they took it away from us, okay? And they know what they did. And that. So, but, yeah, they don't, you know, that's the whole idea, is to keep us dummied down. And it goes back, you know. And also, I was kind of curious. I heard Raymond say something earlier. He said, over there in District 5, did you move? I was wondering, are you still in District 5 or are you out?
No, I'm still in 5.
Okay. I heard you say something. It's like you said over there in District 5, and I thought, well, I didn't know what they did with the lines or whatever, if they drew something or what. I hadn't paid much attention there. That's a big scam. But, okay, I heard that, and I didn't know for sure. Okay, good. This whole thing, though, like you was talking about earlier, too, there's roadblocks to everything to keep us from going forward. Now that when I go down a path, I almost expect to get one, because – this stuff has been put in place for years, and they're putting more, and they're reducing our rights and putting more roadblocks in. So we've got to get in and open some doors up. And number one thing, too, see, we was back on that council meeting where we could speak. My first priority thing would be is to be yelling them to remove Michelle Gook. She's in charge of communications. She won't advertise anything that is negative about this city regardless. It's all going to be good cosmetic news, and that's it. And we need independent news as well, and we need real news of what's going on, like sales tax going up, or, you know, I'd love for them to advertise they're going to take us off the agenda. That would have been really something in the city news if they was put in there. City Council is going to move the public presentation from the city council meetings next month. What do you think about that? You ain't going to see that in there for sure, but it needed to be in there. Most vital thing they could do to the city. That's the most important thing, but it wasn't in there, and it was very important. So, yeah, they're all about themselves. And that, and I think I might have got off track again, Carrie. Just shake me every once in a while if you have to, if I get too far off track. Just step in there. And, yeah, I mean, okay, because I can get off track easy. I just, you know, it's just so much stuff, and it all connects together, and it starts bubbling out, you know. And like I said, and I tell everybody a lot of times over and over, I can't afford professional counseling, so I vent when I can. Anyway, go ahead. I hope that answered your question, Sam.
It did. Well, then, you know, there's a lot of changes that have been made downtown that are really concerning me. And one would be, like, you know, like Bob just spoke of, you know, the changing of, you know, when we can speak and, how, you know, how long, you know, just how long you can speak, how many people you need to bring, the fact that you need to state specifically what you're going to be speaking of. But another one of the changes that really concerned me is the fact that they changed, if nobody's paying attention, how they present an agenda item. They used to give to you the agenda item number, then they would give you the description, and then there would be a vote. Do you have a problem with the fact that they removed the agenda item description before the vote so that if somebody is not, you know, holding, you know, the program in front of them or watching the screen or totally aware, they don't always go in chronological order. And so you may be completely lost about what the vote is. Do you have a problem with the way they're doing that?
Most definitely. Well, it goes back to what everybody's been, what we all see, and that is we got to learn to keep them quiet. We got to find new, they're coming up with new ways to basically, as Twin said, to take away that freedom that we have to stand up and say something. And by not itemizing the agenda items, you know, when you get up, the way they were doing it before, hey, unfortunately, they already had their minds made up. They were just going through the formalities of putting it out there in print first and then saying, hey, we're going to talk about it, then we'll vote, because very rarely did they change their vote on an agenda item and somebody got up and many people got up and spoke out against it, and that vote was either held or it was changed. So it don't surprise me what they're doing. It's just, you know, they're being more blatant. I think Bob opened up and said, hey, you know, they're the last administration, but on steroids. You know, it's only getting worse.
I agree. Kakaris, do you think it's been too many changes with this new administration too fast? It's just too many things going on with the changing of the reading of the agenda item, the time, you know, just basically, you know, for a while they even took away, you know, on the common night, whether or not they would say the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, just they're habitually late all the time. Do you really think that there's maybe too many changes with this particular council?
Well, the tardiness is a good example of a lack of respect for those people that attend the meetings, and especially those that have prepared a message to be shared. I think that, as what's already been mentioned, it's a clear strategy. It's a strategy to mix you up, to put you in a fog of war type mentality where you don't feel comfortable like before you walked in, once you get in, because the changes are coming up and there's a different system in place, and it gets you unnerved. And the hope there when you get unnerved is that you'd be unwilling. And so, you know, Bob is very focused and experienced and does a great job. And that's not going to shake an experienced individual like him getting in front of the city council. But you got to remember for other people that want to get in there and share what the line of sight is. So you get up there, you're, you know, looking to say your words, and you're looking at a group of individuals seated higher than everybody else. You know, that puts things into a certain perspective for you. They're looking down on you. You know, you've got them and their great number of what makes up the council, and when the mayor's there. And then on the flip side of that, you got to think about what the city council sees. They have that up high position. They're looking at a bunch of empty seats, unfortunately, most of the time. So those targets that they focus in on, the few people that are strong enough and are willing to be there and voicing their concerns and speaking for the city, they can immediately draw their full attention to them and then try to dissuade and discourage in any manner that they see works or that they feel is fit. And it's strategy. It really is. It's a silencing of people. It's making sure that you understand your place. And I think what needs to happen is that there needs to be a little bit of organization on our part. It's not mandatory for us, but you better believe that that council is meeting beforehand and deciding how they're going to take on questions and give their retorts when there's something that's brought up with it they don't want to be brought up, you know, especially because it'll be on video for people to see later. So with some organization and maybe some practice, as far as speaking in front of the public like that. I think more messages could get across, but it's a tactic. You know, and with any type of strategy that's coming up against you, you got to have a strategy of your own.
May I interject
sure,
here?
Go ahead.
Because it kind of, in behalf of the city, who are we to tell about our city council that we chose to be our city council?
Yeah.
See, here we are doing the blaming game. We are the ones that put them in those seats.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to retreat from the mistake that we made in the first place. So the problem is us, not them, and the system that continue to perpetuate that, the things that's happening. See, my thing is, I don't care about the laws being changed. What I care about is who came up with such a law that made the change. So those are the ones that we need to be concerned about, not those in the seat. So we need to go beyond what's going on in city council, because there's something affected there before it get to our city council members or the seats of those positions. See, we're looking at the wrong thing. We're fighting the wrong battle. They are just puppets in places, and we know that. Don't act like we don't know what's going on. Don't not like them because of their position. I know if I was in that position, there would be some change in me that I might not like or what have you, because that's part of the job. And I knew and understand that going from community to politics, because I know what politics means.
Mm-hmm.
And for the betterment of the city, the city is a business, and we're dealing with business. So if we don't work for a business, we need to put them out of business. Not out of their position. So again, stop griping about what they're doing and do something about it. That is my position.
I agree.
That's my
position. You know what? I agree. I can't even argue with what you just said, Twin. Because you know what? That's the problem. We always are like Monday morning quarterbacks about what's wrong, but then when it's time to fix it, you can't get people to the polls. You can't get people registered to vote. So basically, we get what we get because we haven't done what we're supposed to do. So I absolutely get that. I get that. Because you know what? When we saw, and I'm going to Bob now. Bob, when we saw Elizabeth Beck, District 9, do the rant on you, and she also did a rant on Thomas, where I thought she really went from professional city council person to, you know, basically a very
wicked witch of the West.
Person. Huh?
I won't go into that.
But I'm just saying her behavior was very unprofessional for someone who identifies themselves as an attorney, you know, and it should be, you know, basically, you know, someone who would be able to better articulate their thoughts than the way she came off. So my point is this: when that happened, did all of us have the same sense of like disgust and anger that we had city council people that were bold enough to address a citizen like that? I mean, Bob, you were there. You and Thomas were the recipients of that. But how did it feel to hear a council person scold you like you were a 2-year-old?
Well, I'll tell you, when she first got me for wrestling, I thought she was really bad going after me, and I thought this was something. This was terrible. Look what she done. I went back of her the next week, whatever. But then when she went after Thomas, it made mine look like grade school stuff. I mean, she really went after Thomas. She tore into him like something else there, and I saw that even made me mad at her, the stuff she was saying, you know, when I watched the video, which is on my website, fwdistrict5.com, if anybody wants to see the 20-minute video. She's in there. The whole thing's worth talking about. You want to see those clips of her, how she's handling herself, and Thomas, that's the one she really goes after him. I think if you see her face at the beginning of it, she looks like she's about to have a stroke. or wet her britches or something. I don't know what, but her face was looking funny, you know. And then she just led into Thomas like some kind of barracuda there, you know. But anyway, then I called the attorney later about that, to see attorney, and just wanted to get it off my chest that I was fixing to put some pictures and a video out about her, but also I'm concerned that she could actually have some mental problems maybe, and I wanted the attorney to know that. So, and if you don't think she does, you don't say anything back to me, then I don't feel so bad about putting this out. At least if I do put it out and there is something wrong and people come back at me saying, well, you were attacking a person that's got mental problems, I can say now, I can say, well, I told the attorney too, and she didn't say anything. So, you know, I wanted someone else to take the blame with me. So, but yeah, I am kind of concerned that she may have a little bit of and I left that with the attorney too, that I can't say that about the other council members. I'll call them crooked, immature. I'll call Maddie mental Maddie Parker, you know, but I'm just going after her because of the things she's doing. But Elizabeth actually shows some signs that may not be quite, you know, a little bit more, maybe. But I'm not a psychiatrist, not my place, and I put it on the attorney's back to decide whether or not, you know, if you think the woman's got any problem, then you need to say something. If you don't say anything, then, we'll just go forward. It might just be me. Anyway, yeah, did that help answer anything?
That did. So wait a minute, let me ask you. As a council person, and I don't know if you're aware of the particular outburst that we're referring to when Elizabeth Beck attacked Bob and when she also attacked Thomas, but I think what she said to Thomas, I think, was way, I think, above where she should have gone when she said, you know, basically, in essence, and I'm paraphrasing, you make us sick to, what'd she say, ad nauseum? And she said, I think I can speak for me and the rest of the council. That is like way above what you say to a citizen who's coming down there to voice their opinions about what they disagree with that's going on in the city. And you say that. So as a council person, did she cross the line?
Well, she was already out of bounds. Again, like it was mentioned earlier, they already get together before they actually come out with the meeting with the public about the things that they're going to cover. And she was already amped up. You know, it was just like you do, like athletes were doing a locker room. You get in, you talk your strategies. But this was a night to where she had already had enough.
Oh, wow.
You know, it takes me back to when Betsy Price had the meeting with those ministers. And she said, well, did we come here to discuss some things or are we just going to have another bitch session?
Mm-hmm.
So she, hey, again, it's 2.0. They're above, they're doing worse than the administration before them. But this was one of those nights to where she said, hey, she did the pie on them. I done stands all I can stands and I can't stands no more. So she stood up and she said what was on her mind. She didn't care how it was taken. She knew it was going to be on video. It didn't bother her a bit. But she said, I'm going to get this off my chest. And apparently, this is something, like she said, I think I can speak for the entire council. So, she was out of bounds. You know, and again, that's one of those things, like I said, about when they was asking for the money, they're testing the fences. They're testing to see what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. And when they feel that you are challenging that authority and you're not going to be dictated to, that's when they say, okay, I'll stick the dogs on you. Turn his mic off and y'all escort him out of the building.
Wow.
But if you catch him on the street, and my thing has always been this, and this is never a threat. I always tell him it's a promise that you better come at me with that same energy every time I see you.
Mm. But see, let me say this, though, and y'all, we got to move on quickly because there's some questions that your audience wants to ask. I think the problem I have with that, though, is that when Bob took his camera and starts going after city council members after the meetings with his camera and said, can I ask you a question? The city attorney sent him a letter and said, you're harassing them. And Elizabeth Beck, or I'm going to take that back. we're assuming it was Elizabeth Beck because that's the only female Bob talked to up there, and I hope it's not one of the males that's saying they felt sexually harassed, but that's the kind of language you got. Harassment and a threat that someone said that he has sexually harassed them. So do you really want to talk to this council? They almost seem untouchable. You know, don't bother us. We're doing business. You sit down, shut up. You know, we're in charge or not. That's really the vibe that you're getting from them, which is sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
on the flip side, I saw that video, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. All this man did was he's asking you a question.
Yeah.
But they don't want to be put on record and held accountable for the things that they do and the things that they say. That's what that is about. Because he was just asking a basic question. He wasn't grabbing him by the shoulder and spinning him around and saying, hey, I need to ask you something. You know, hey, he's asking him from a distance. And who knows? Male or female, they might feel that he was sexually harassing them. That's a whole different. Hey, whatever floats your boat, you know. But my thing is, I'm asking you a question as a constituent, as a resident in the city. I want to ask you something, and you mean tell me that you're too busy for dialogue, but you're in public service?
Yes. That's it exactly. That is it exactly. Michael Kakaris, were you aware of the comments that she made to Thomas Polakazi and to Bob Willoughby? I call them rants. Were you aware of those?
Yeah, I saw Bob's, I guess it's the second video that we're talking about tonight where he's got the camera with him and he's trying to get some input from council members and you know, they're walking away from him, and, you know, he's kind of saying that, hey, you're supposed to represent us. You know, that's not polite and what have you. And I think it just goes back to that strategy that we were discussing earlier. And, you know, Bob's been on the scene for a while now. And I think that maybe they decided that it was time to try to cancel him, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, and especially when you start throwing around the harassment and the sexual harassment. It's a way to try to intimidate him. And, you know, he was doing everything right in regards to trying to ask sensible questions and get some reasonable answers. The one thing he didn't do right, though, man, that camera was shaky. I got a little dizzy, you know. I'm a war veteran, so that kind of tripped me up trying to watch the full thing. But, you know, with good practice comes better, you know, camera skills. But, yeah, I think that's horrible, and I could definitely see him, you know, I hope not, but I could see him as a target for the council, and he's a very good speaker, not only when he's speaking on the radio or in public, but even, you know, when he speaks to you individually, he's got a way of being able to ask his questions that maybe is intimidating to others because he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And he does, you know, he's been on the scene for a long time. And if you're a rookie, you know, that's intimidating. And sometimes when you're getting out your skin like that, you go off the handle, you say the wrong things. I'm sure that there's been conversations had about what happened already and how not to escalate the situation. But the damage is done. And I think that with the right strategy, you know, that those behaviors can be brought up in the future and used as an example of what not to do and why we're saying it's difficult to speak on this city and to speak about how we want things to go in our city and how we want those representatives of our city to act accordingly. And that's with respect.
I agree. You know, it seems like it's two people or two groups in the city that you can't say anything about, and that's the police and the city council and the mayor. It's like, you know, those are off limit. And so if you do, there's going to be a backlash. That's just what that is. But Antonio Twin Harris, I don't know if you saw the rant Elizabeth Beck did toward Torlakazi, and she did it toward Bob, but do you think they were unprofessional? Should a council person address a citizen that's at the podium that way? I mean, is that the way we want to do business downtown?
Well, remember I told you that they're in control. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're dealing with people that got the mic in control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's almost like the comedian on the stage and he have a heckler out in the audience. Who's going to win that battle?
Mm-hmm.
The man with the mic.
Mm-hmm.
So our problem is we continue to deal with these comedians.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to talk, man. What are we talking about? So what we need to do, we need to make sure that they exit the stage. And so when we start showing people power, exercising our citizenships, and getting them out of office, we're going to continue to get the comedians.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get no real performers on stage helping us in our quest and living a lifestyle that we deserve. We're going to continue getting the comedians that make fun of us and laugh
mm-hmm.
at us on stage.
That's
so again, they're not in the wrong. It's just we're not in the right position.
That's
they're
right.
not in the wrong. We're just not the ones in the right position. Why? Because we continue to allow them to take us out of position. So what we need to do is work on making sure they get exiled, get out of office. Once we learn how to kick them out of office, guess what? Now we got the power. Now we got the mic. Oh, now we're doing the talking. When the police pull me over, guess what? I don't fret none whatsoever because I tell them my people got guns too.
Ooh,
call
go.
Them. Make
Ooh.
Sure you call the whole force, right?
Ooh.
Because I'm ready for battle. So let's make it happen. You can't threaten me with no rape case or whatever. Whatever happened, I didn't see what happened. Because I would say, you're so right. So what we're going to do, we're going to make this I'm going to make a spectacle out of you. And I'm going to damage your political career if you challenge me. Because guess what? I don't have nothing to lose, but you got a position to lose. I don't have nothing but time to lose. But boy, when I finish damaging your name and those, your constituents around you, let's see who won the battle and who won the war. So again, we need to stop allowing them to dictate us and take our position and play our position. As citizens, we're just as much a part of this city as the city council. And until we know and understand that, they're going to continue to think that they're better than us.
Okay.
Are you following me?
I am.
So again,
I
don't know what happened, but if it was me, boy, look at here. I don't care about the goddamn police. I don't care about the goddamn mayor or any goddamn body else when it comes to me. I will make sure I let them know and I will show them that you can't lose nobody that don't have, you can't win against no one that don't have nothing to lose. Are you following me?
There you go.
We follow.
All right.
Wow. Listen. I have to agree. Y'all, let me run this ad again, and then we're going to come back.
It's a great day at River Tree Academy. We are a private Christian school in the Lake Como community that strives to provide an environment where students can learn well, love well, work well, and lead well. We still have openings available for incoming 3rd through 5th grade students to enroll. Visit us on the web at rivertreeacademy.org to find out more and enroll today.
Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, we're talking about city in crisis mode and how are we going to fix it. If you have a question or a comment tonight, call in at 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. Adrian sent in a question, and Adrian's question was basically, are any of you all going to run in 2023? And he also said, name one thing that you will do differently the next time around. And I'm not sure if he's referring to your campaign, because none of them were elected. So are you saying in their campaign? I'm not sure what he means. I'm going to let him
give me a response back on that. But let me talk about a community activist that's doing a lot of good work, and that's Ms. Tina James over there in the Echo Heights area. That said, how did this city allow one area to be saturated with so many problems? You got Chesapeake over there drilling. You got a trucking company over there basically with all the pollution. And then you got, what was the other thing you got? You got Chesapeake over there. You got all those waste companies over there. And then you got a whole bunch of things going on. You're putting all of that garbage in one area, trucking, Chesapeake, and waste companies all in one area. How fair is that for the city to do that area like that? I just don't get it. Wayman Brown, you're close to that area. What are your thoughts?
It's called kickback.
Oh.
You feel me? Called kickback.
Yes.
When we looked at the Eugene McCray Center right down the street from me, about four houses, as a matter of fact,
wow.
A question had been asked about, what about doing something with that property behind the community center? What about putting a pool out there for people in the southeast part of Fort Worth? You know, they could have a place to go because you got enough for a pool, you got enough for a parking. That space is larger than Forest Park. So I didn't see an issue, and you were right there next to the freeway. Nobody knew anything. But all of a sudden now you got construction going up. You got all this industrial stuff going up. That, how is that going to benefit us as residents? You know, because we don't see those collective dollars doing anything for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it. Is that money going to help upgrade the schools in the area? Is that going to help our housing in the area? Is that going to help our taxes in the area? Where's the money going from that? You know, and the only thing that I can surmise from it is kickback.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Tell them how that is, and I live at 4328 South Edgewood Terrace.
I'm just trying to understand, though. I mean, I know that if that was an affluent area of the city, there's no way that you would have three or four waste management companies, Chesapeake drilling in people's front yards almost, and trucking companies putting pollution over there. I just don't believe that that would be happening.
It wouldn't happen.
Go ahead.
May I interject?
Sure.
Well,
go ahead, honey.
I'm actually the vice president of that coalition over there.
Really?
And Tina James' daughter, Martasia, is the president, and big ups to Miss T too. They have worked so diligently, and of course, you know, they voted me in as vice president. But let me explain to you what's going on. You know, with you know, the city know how to gentrify. The city know how to seek, kill, and destroy. They know how to get money. They know how to monopolize. They are masters of doing what city does. So one of the things that they done a long time ago, they zoned this particular area, which is predominantly so-called black. And of course, you say I use so-called because I don't believe that we're black. But anyways, what they do, they put it in predominantly so-called black area. And they soak up the resources, and they plant all type of toxics in that environment. And then one may say, well, no, it's just a city dump down the street, and it's a chemical plant around the corner, and it's an environment body burning around the other corner and what have you. But see, with all those different toxics, I don't know if you've ever been in a laboratory, but if you mix certain together, goddamn, it's going to be an explosion. So what are they doing? They're exploding and they bombing the people of that environment, which is the so-called black community and people of color. So now what happens is that by time that we realize that this is happening to us and we're dying off, and mama got cancer, and grandma's legs is getting cut off and all that stuff, and baby's got asthma, and everybody got pumps and going to the doctor, and they paying all these doctor bills in order for the city to make money. And not only, of course, you know, you get kickbacks for the city council, and the companies move in for a little bit of nothing, have very little of what you might say taxes and what have you. Come on in. We welcome you. But, boy, look at here. You are put in a particular place for a particular reason. That's to infect that environment. So now what happens, by the time we realize it, The depreciation goes down to so far until we have to move up and move out that now we can't afford it. So guess what? Now they move in. But it's systematically. Remember I talk about the system. It always go back to it is systematically set up for it to happen like that. I realized not too long after that when the lawyers start calling and saying, hey, look, we want to come in and help you out and do this and what have you. And, of course, we got a team of lawyers. And I realized real fast that these lawyers are the ones that's getting paid, but the citizens don't get the money. Why? Because they're the ones doing the gripes. So all they get is their gripes met with some type of easement of some type of negotiation. Well, guess what? We're not going to have as many trash companies over here, we're going to kick a few of them out. We're not going to have as many laboratories over here, we're going to kick a few of them out. So again, it's still an establishment that has taken us under and made money off the backs of us and put us out of our own community sick and dying. So that's what's happening over there. Wow. And again, I'm a part of that environment. I'm a part of that establishment. And hey, if we don't change the laws and get in front of what's going on, it's going to continue to happen.
Wow.
I digress.
Michael Kakaris, over there in Stop 6, there is a Chesapeake drilling site that literally, if the 18-wheeler had to back out to get out, he would back into somebody's yard to turn around. That's just how close. There is one of the Chesapeake sites is in Stop 6. That wouldn't be happening in an affluent area. Also, Chesapeake, we found out recently, Chesapeake has been sued by not only our city, by Fort Worth ISD, by the Basses, and by a number of other groups because they did not pay the royalties as they were supposed to. So how is it that our city would realize that they got duped by Chesapeake, sue them and win, and then renegotiate their leases, but then not do that to the citizens of Fort Worth, do that for all of the citizens of Fort Worth? Do you see something wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, and that's systematic. And the sad thing about that is, you know, even with the district and the city, you know, trying to go after a big company like Chesapeake, you know, they've got attorneys on payroll, you know, similar to like Lockheed Martin here in Fort Worth, a whole department. And that's who deals with that. And they can tie things up for a long period of time. And it's expensive, you know, to have an attorney. And if you're going up against, you know, somebody like Chesapeake with all of their attorneys, that can be a long process and be extremely draining. And no matter what you do, there's very little that's going to come out of there that's going to resolve the issue in a shorter amount of time than what they want, unless you got the money to match. And that's the way it goes. And in this, you know, in this area, what you're talking about too, as what was mentioned earlier, is an opportunity to seize land, to seize houses, you know, right now with the crisis that's going on, if you can get enough people to feel like, well, this place is not where I want to live anymore because of all these problems, you know, let me get out of here, you get a whole new group, a whole new crop of people and companies that are going to buy up these properties, and pretty soon the same people won't be able to get back in there. And it's a strategy, you know, that's used. to take people's land. And, you know, with everything that we do as a nation and as a world, as far as manufacturing goes, the one thing that they're not making any more of is land. It's just not going to happen. And so if you can get your hands on it, it is extremely profitable. It will be profitable long term. And that is, you know, that leads right into to generational wealth as well. And those types of problems, those that are the elite, those that have the money to make decisions like this and to purchase properties and to throw around their influence, that's something that's been going on a long time. And we see it now just with different strategies. And I could definitely see a negative outcome for individuals that worked hard to be in these houses, you know, throughout the area on Village Creek Road, for example. There's a ton of nice houses that I could see somebody wanting to just buy the whole block up. You know, they got paved streets, things like that, where they're probably thinking as planners, man, look, you know, we got a good foundation to start with here. You know, there's trees in the area. We got space. There's even some spaces in the area there that don't have houses on there yet. And look at what we might be able to do to this area. It's the same thing they're doing in Southside, and they've been doing on Southside. It's something that Ricardo Avedia talked a lot about during his campaign, and that's exactly what's going to happen over here. And it's sad, but you can already see those things in motion. And, Kerry, that's why you can't get any pushback on a company like Chesapeake. It's a big monster, and it's not, you know, a monster with one head. It's a monster with many heads, and you would have to attack all of them and have the strength and the power to do so to have any serious impact. And it's not the brightest thing to say during the conversation, but I think it's real.
But no, in 2016, hear me, the city of Fort Worth, Forbes, ISD, and a number of the Basses and a number of other groups sued Chesapeake and won. Huge settlement.
Huge settlement.
My question is, why would the city renegotiate their leases but leave the rest of the people who were not aware that we had been due out in the cold and not have them renegotiate our leases as well and pay us our rightful royalties? I mean, that what kind of city does that? I mean, how do you look out for the city but not look out for the people of the city?
It's called corruption.
That part.
Plain and simple. It's just called corruption.
That's what it is. I hate to say it, but that's what it is. Because when you get through, at the point in which the city was aware that Chesapeake had not done right with the royalties, and other groups, along with the Basses and the Fort Worth ISD, all got on board and started suing, how dare they keep it secret and not tell the rest of the city, everybody needs to get on board and sue Chesapeake. They didn't do that. So the city left us out in the cold for us to figure it out ourselves. And here it is, 2022, and this was settled in 2016. It is what it is, you know. So
you got to see, the thing about it, see, again, you got to stand, you're the mark. It was about you in the first place. Did I just not tell you that? When the lawyers came to us, they wasn't speaking about no money, no settlement, no nothing. They were just speaking about us getting some of our, in other words, they didn't say they were going to abstract all of the dumping. They were just going to minimize the dumping. They're going to go in and make some safety precautions. That don't mean that they're going to remove it. Why? Because we are the mark. So now everybody make money on us but us. And that is the way that city does it. And like he said, the building generational wealth is all systematically set up for that. And it's 20 and 30 years ahead of us. And that time, again, we realize what's going on. We don't have no stake in the money. We don't have no stake in them because we are the mark. I asked the lawyer, well, you know, I don't want to talk to y'all unless we can get paid. He said, well, no, it don't work like that.
Oh.
He said that this is the way that it works. We can't help y'all help yourself, and y'all can't help us because we don't have no case unless y'all bring the case against them.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can't get the money. Y'all get whatever gripes that you have. Y'all have y'all environmental cleanup or what so have you. But we get the money, and that's the way it's set up. So, again, the system is our target, not the people.
That's great. Bob Willoughby, would you say that the city of Fort Worth puts big business and developers ahead of the citizens?
There was, I think there was something I went to a meeting over there about, too. There was something else about the school, and I was trying to find the paperwork here. They were trying to protest not to build right across the street from the school, too, along that same area with the drilling, and I didn't know anything about the late law trash thing. But anyway, what comes to mind here is, what about the neighborhood associations? Are there any neighborhood associations over there doing anything?
That would be on Twin. Is there a neighborhood association over there?
I'm sorry, Bob. Yes, I had you. Yes, we are. Echo Heights Coalition, Environmental Coalition, and yes, we are in the midst of doing all the negotiation and all that's for that environment, the cleanup. Of course,
okay.
We're pairing with a few others.
Okay,
and,
so you got some neighborhood associations involved, and that's good. I didn't know if there was any involved or not. I just want to make sure that was put out there just in case someone wasn't. Talking to the neighborhood associations or whatever.
But, Bob, you know what, Bob? I realized that it's too late to stop what they're doing. So I say we don't want to fight for the removal of, because we know that, hey, most of us would die off and whatever before that even happened. So what we want to do, we want to fight for no more. Don't kill us. Don't go from a handgun to a hand grenade. Are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So stop right now. Because it's already said, go ahead.
There is something else coming up over by the school I went to a meeting about. I don't remember what that was. Carrie, do you remember what that was? I think you're the one telling me about that meeting.
That would be one of the things that was involved. That one. That is it.
It was something about
right
across the street from the school and right across there and the fences and stuff. But anyway, this one hadn't started yet, so it's still under battle now at least, and you can at least get a jump at that one. I mean, but anyway, I didn't know about that. But anyway.
Bob, that's part of it because you know. They have the audacity not to only affect us and our communities, but they even put the factories and stuff right across the street from our schools. How double dare you?
That's what they're trying to do right
now.
I know that.
Exactly. How is a baby going to study and do a test with machines and trucks and stuff going all down the street around them? Are they serious?
Yeah, I kind of tapped on something that Raymond said there earlier. He was talking about the swimming pool and on the land there. It seems like if you find a spot of land to do anything on that's good for the community, then immediately they want to jump in and bulldoze it up and use it for something like this. And that's what I got out of that walk. I was thinking that's kind of what I felt like. You know, so if you find something, you say something, watch out. They're going to fill it in with something like this to make sure you don't, almost like put us down, but until we, we get out there and get neighbors.
I was talking about, Bob.
Huh?
That's that kickback I was talking about.
Yeah.
When we were talking about doing something constructive in the community, particularly something that would go along with enhancing the community center.
Yeah, enhancing them. But then you said what they wound up doing right after you said that, then they started doing all that building. With drilling and all that crap started coming. Right after you start mentioning that, all that other comes in right in behind it there, and it's kind of like, It's like you almost triggered something by saying something. If you wouldn't have said anything, it might have laid dormant for a little while longer, almost, you know. That's what it feels like, right? Or if I got that right. But
they had the plan. The plan had already been in motion because I've been over here for 26 years.
Hmm.
So when they first built the center, that was one of the main questions asked. Most community centers come with a swimming pool, and there's mm-hmm. enough land right there. So I understand we can get the center now. Do we have to wait 2 years, 4 years, 6 years before we get the pool part? Or, you know, what do we need to do?
And I'm going to tell you something you need for that center above all. And it's not at a lot of centers I go to. Even the one I'm using Martin Luther King on the 20A for our police oversight committee meeting. They're on the 28th at 7 o'clock. But the Martin, there's no marquees out front. Even the new one over there off of Hemp Hill. Or was it Horn Street? You go down Horn Street, a nice entry into there. No marquees to announce what's going on at these places. Churches have marquees. Schools have marquees. Concert halls
yeah.
have marquees. And these places have rooms to rent out and at no marquees, even like my meeting. If they had a marquee, I thought I could have it up there right now, you know, announcing it to the neighbors that the police oversight will be there on the 28th at 7 p.m. I hope they'll be there. But it just might be me there. I don't know. But anyway, but that's something that's missing. So if they're building a new one now, and I mentioned this before to people, that when they start building any more or anything you know of, we got to start pushing them. Put a marquee up there. So if it's a bond meeting or redistricting or the Girl Scouts, whatever, you know.
Okay.
But they don't do it. They want to keep it secret, you know, and just advertise the city news, and only the insiders use it. So but anyway, I kind of got off track maybe.
We got to move on. Now, this is one of the most important questions of the night. What is going on with the Aaron Dean trial, and why does the whole city feel like it's under a gag order? I'll start with you, Michael Kakaris. It almost seems like this trial, this man is getting super special treatment. Anybody who says anything, you know, feels like, you know, they're under some threat of being silenced or gag ordered. So what are your thoughts? Is the city putting a gag order basically on is the leadership of the city literally putting a gag order over the rest of the city so that this trial goes a certain way?
Yeah, I think that anytime you're going up against that big blue wall, you're going to encounter some tough stuff. And I think that's what's going on right now. And I think that as we move forward in the months, we're not seeing anything really in the way of justice for Ms. Jefferson.
Nope.
And I think that's what the country is used to, is a slow response to things that are devastating for communities and families. The terrorists apart from each other. I'm not sure if it's a way to just keep us upset along with not delivering justice. I mean, when you even get to the point of judges, you know, being selected, not being selected, delays having to come about, you can see just how little we are in the world of criminal justice, you know, and when you have something that sets you apart in our society, clearly, and this is all over the nation, and I'm not trying to bash on all the police officers out there, but that uniform has like a special power. It's like a cloak of protection, you know, it's superhuman. And I don't understand it because, you know, if you look at the regulations to get on the force, it's not very hard. So, you know, you got some of these people coming right out of high school and getting in there and getting a pistol strapped to their hip and then, you know, given all these superior rights. And it's scary. And I think because it's scary, certain people aren't going to broach it. And certain people that have approached it might not approach it again. And you can see what has resulted from trying to get more attention on what happened and on what continues to happen. And it's something that can definitely a silence. Now, you know, not only families, but communities and organizations. And if you are in a position of leadership and you want to maintain that position of leadership, if you're in a position of influence and you don't want to lose that influence, then you are careful with what you get yourself involved in. And that's just, you know, part of how they stay on top. And when are the delays going to stop? Are we going to be any happier when we see, you know, the verdict? What's going to come about? You know, all those questions are going to be answered in the future. And I'm not thinking that we're going to be happy with the results. And I think that's what it is. It is a fear, not only from those that are easy targets, but a fear of those that are in positions of influence and leadership that don't want to be, you know, knocked down a step.
I agree. Antonio Swain Harris, is there a gag order, an invisible gag order all over the city on this trial? Are they really muzzling anybody like protesters or anybody else who would speak out against what may not be the verdict that we're looking for?
You know, we're dealing with a city that was the last to have the separate water fountains.
Oh,
so you
wow.
Think that the trial is not going to be different? Do you think the treatment is not going to be different? Are you serious? See, our problem is we speak of fear and we react to it. My thing is, again, I know and understand and see what's going on with our police force, because these are young individuals that are not from here. And it should be something against them. They should be able to, they have to live in this city, in this county, because they can do their dirty work and go home and not be known about. See, our problem is we don't have no sense of a recourse. We don't have no sense of, I may say, revenge. So I remember being in the Jamaicans when they came through in the 80s and the 90s, and they came through killing and what have you. They was considered the baddest in the world. Why? Because they can do their dirty work and going on about their business. But when they have to stay and where they from here, and you know where they are, and they can deal with the hardship as well, the behavior changed. See, our problem is that we don't have no stance, or we don't have no means of behavioral change for these enforcers. So when we start having behavioral changes, things will start changing for us as well. And the reason I speak like this and the way I do is because I let them know, oh, yes, you deal with me or you mess with me and mine, there's going to be some serious repercussions. And I'm not talking about in the court. And until we start dealing with them according to that, we will continue to have the same exact results. I'm not wishing no bad on nobody, but if you do bad, oh, well. So, again, yes, Aaron Dean is going to get the treatment as every Caucasian gets in this environment. Let's not overlook what the prejudice. Let's not overlook the color barriers. Let's not do that. Let's hit it head on. Let's be for real about what's going on in our environment. And this is why we have to live under the scrutiny. And we have to deal with the lifestyles that we are dealt with because of the prejudices. And it's becoming to the point where they get a pass even in the worst way. They get a pass for killing, murder. They get a pass. So, again, until the gun is pointed the other way, it's going to continue to happen, people. Let's not overlook the real seriousness of what's going on. So, again, yes, he's going to get all the treatment and what have you. And, of course, with the gag orders and all that, that's in favor of the defendant. It's in favor of the defendant. And, of course, we won't get what we're expecting out of this trial. We know we won't. We expect it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, we expect for the lawyers to lie, the preachers, you know what I'm saying, to be pimps in the pulpit. We expect that now. The people that's supposed to protect us, we expect for them to do us wrong and do us harm. So again, expect the trial to be the same way. You already see it in the making. So, hey, I'm not surprised. And I dare that you be. I digress.
Mr. James would like to make a comment. And we're going to take his call. Good evening, Mr. James. How are you?
I don't even have a description of how I'm doing, but I hope you guys are doing well.
Wow.
I was just listening to the twin, and sadly, he may be right. But the Fort Worth Weekly did an article a few weeks ago, pointing out numerous malfeasance in the process of this case. I'm just wondering why anybody of substance, of black substance, isn't saying anything about the illegal maneuvers that the judges are doing, being retired, is making decisions, not being sworn in, getting a retirement check and getting a check, the recusal being unjustly done, and nobody's saying anything. I'm like, why isn't anybody saying anything? I'm no lawyer, but I can tell that what's going on is not right.
Mr. James, did I not see a picture that you posted online of a city marshal that's been sitting outside your house? What is that about? Is that intimidation?
I'm not sure why he's sitting there, because he wasn't coming to pick nobody up, and nobody lives, you know, nobody's at that residence that time of day. So I don't know why he frequents that spot.
When you say frequent, you mean how often?
Well, he's done it more than twice that I can recall.
Wow.
I thought that was a photographic moment. That's why I took the picture. I mean, just to look up and see him just sitting there. Gave new meaning to pull up the tape.
So why would the city be participating in basically soft forms of harassment to this situation when you go before them in council, they always say, well, we don't have anything to do with it. But clearly that's a city marshal's vehicle that's sitting outside the house.
Yeah, that's a question they would have to answer. But I do understand that it's in the hands of the DA.
Uh-huh.
But you have to raise questions when you see improper things going on and nobody questioning it. That article in Fort Worth Weekly should have been national news, but it wasn't. It didn't even make the local, you know, the local news.
It's going back to what I said earlier. They're still testing the fences. They're trying to see what they can and can't get away with. You know, is anybody really going to say anything about it? And like Twin said, you know, those who are supposed to be looking out for us, our quote-unquote civic leaders in our churches, you know, I remember a time in life to where they would have banded together and brought this to the attention of downtown, brought it to their doorstep. But now, you know, it's one of those things to where, hey, you know, if you say something, we're gonna take your 501c3 status away from you. You know, you're not going to be able to do as much in your church unless you do what we want and control your people. It's a plantation mentality going on in Fort Worth. That's what that is.
I agree. Thank you tonight, Mr. James, for your call. Listen, we're going to go to final comment. Bob, we'll start with you.
Final comment?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
For the city in crisis, what is your final comment for a city that's in crisis mode?
Help. No. How about I want to mention something to James real quick about the marshal sitting outside his house, which means that he must be having some kind of effect to at least to have them there. So don't take it as a trophy, okay? Because when they don't pay attention to you, is when you're not, you know, I think we discussed that before. So feel good when they're doing stuff like that. That means you're actually making some impact there, okay? But anyway, the final thought was, boy, that's a hard one. No, I'm sorry. The final thought is that, you know, we're just going to have to get out there and put it together. You know, one thing I was going to answer was, I was ready to answer, it didn't come around to me. I don't think it ever got to me, was the question of about what you would do different this time on the election. I think you were asking that. Wasn't that a question a while ago? I was ready to answer that one, but I don't think it ever got to me. But what I would do different this time, which I'm going to run one more time here anyway, I'm going to do the mail-out. Now, the mail-out leaflets is one of your key things about trying to get elected. I've watched a lot of the – I don't question how things work that much. If the successful, the big buys, the ones that do it, the big businesses, and it works for them, I don't care how it works. It works, okay? The main thing against most of these people in office is the mail-out leaflets. That's your number one. Now, what I did wrong last time, I'm going to do it differently this time, and I'll share this information to everybody. I sent out to the ones that voted last time, all the ones that voted, you know, in my district. That's what everybody does, to go to them. This time, I'm sending waves out to the people that didn't vote that are registered voter. I'm going after those, because the ones that did vote last time, so pretty much they already pretty well know me, and half of those I'm not going to get anyway. Automatically are going to go to the establishment candidate, whether it be Gina or whoever they put up there if she doesn't run. They're going to go there regardless. So you're going to automatically figure that person can get 2,000 votes right off the bat. They're out of that. So this time I'm going to send all my waves out to the ones and try to tap in there and see if that will make a difference. That's what I'm doing different this time, trying to reach those that didn't vote, that are registered voters, and try that. So, and then on the ending on the city is that, you know, I guess things could always be worse, maybe. I don't know how, but it could be. So anyway, I'm going to end on it right there, Carrie, okay?
I got you. Michael, okay. Final comment.
Well, there's work to be done, that's for sure. But I don't want people losing hope in what can get done. And we need to remember that even in the case of the new city council that's up there right now, that we've had problems in the city for a long time. But they're not problems that we can't address and that we can't do something about. There's plenty of people here in Fort Worth that are willing to do the right things. And we just got to sway, you know, influence over them and let them know that it's worth the fight. Because if not, what you're going to see is a continuing taking of sides one way or the other and a bitterness. And that's not any way to get things done with a huge, you know, population of people. I think that additionally, I'm very interested to see what happens going on with Ms. Jefferson's case. I think that it's odd to me that it doesn't have as much national attention as what it should. I don't know what's going on nationally with that. I know there's so much that we can do here, but I would think there'd be a lot more attention on what's happening, and there's not. And I think that once we get into the proceedings and everything else, then I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get some more attention on what's going on. I don't know if it's because we are, you know, in Texas and, you know, we kind of deal with the good old boys here and all and whatnot. But I did and do think that it's worthy of more attention, and hopefully getting some big names out there on the side of justice and what's right, bringing this out and, you know, helping to influence what's going on so that we get a good decision when it comes to justice. And, you know, just, you know, may God be with your family and you're not forgotten. We're thinking about you. And as far as, you know, the members that are on today, I think I've been on with this group, you know, quite a bit, and I'm just glad. You know, Bobby's got a nice camera. You know, I'm going to take that back to that city council meeting. You know, that's a nice camera. It's a nice setup right there. And I think if he continues to get in there and do his things, you know, I don't know how he doesn't come out being even more involved in District 5. He's a great spokesman for us here in Fort Worth, and I think he's a good example of what we should strive to do as far as getting involved with what's going on in the city and putting that time in so that you can make a difference.
And you know what, and I apologize, y'all. I forgot my final question, and I definitely got to put it out there. And so I'm not going to give Wayman Brown and Antonio Twin the final comment, but I do want them to address the redistricting issue. Do you think that was fairly done? Do you have an issue with it? How is it that we allowed them to draw people out of the district that were running against them the last time? I mean, so was it done fairly, Antonio Twain?
Well, I mean, you know, you know, we're asking the devil to be nice to us. let's stop, y'all. But anyway, okay. No, I'm again, you know, we're just dealing with a certain type of individuals that knows how to gain control and keep control. And that's what it's about. It's about them having control until we get our clenches and get our fingernails fingers around some type of control. That's what's going to happen. Again, we got to get in front of them. I guess in my closing remarks, I want to say, of course, we can, Twin and I had the blessed privilege of walking Tatiana's mother up to the doorstep after her passing. So this is how close it is to us and how endear it is to me that we get a just conviction. But again, we know that is not going to be, you know, just. They say that justice is when both parties is satisfied. Well, we know that in this system, it's impossible to satisfy a party that the system was enacted for, made for, to be against. So again, that's your justice. As far as what I would do different in my campaign, nothing really. But my campaign was simply to get others involved, those who wasn't involved, get them involved in politics so that they can start being aware and trying to make some changes in their environment and their life and their lifestyle. And the only thing I probably do different, I probably take a few pictures with Bob because he's such a handsome man, and I'm quite sure he can probably give me a few votes. But anyways, no, I would do anything different. Again, and as far as the city, of course, the city can be a greater city and be one that can be changed, but it takes us as individuals to change ourselves to make sure that that happens. But yeah, with that being said, yeah, I digress. Thank you so much for allowing me to express myself and have such a platform. Of course, kudos to Bob, man. I've always, you know, I admire Bob. I admire you as well. Carrie, because hey, this is the type of things that we need in order for our people to get involved and get on top of what's going on, so they can make some changes and better have a better assessment for their life. Thank
hey,
you,
Carrie. I'm gonna have to send a copy of this to my ex-wife. It'll kill her to hear all these things about me.
Oh, he's putting on thick tonight. Listen, well, we got to get out of here. Tell us your thoughts on this redistricting. Do you think it was unfairly?
Yeah, it was done unfairly. Yeah, if you look at the history of how redistricting was, remember at one time, Poly Stop 6 and Eastwood were all one district at one time. There was over 70,000 people in one district, unified. And then they start chopping it up. And then they start looking at when we had the election, particularly in 2019, they said, look, you got all these active groups outside working, and they're starting to mobilize in the communities. We got to break that up. So that's what they came up with. We start chopping them up again. So I always pay attention to what has went on before me so I can learn how to apply what I'm trying to utilize as a strategy in whatever I'm going into. So Yeah, it was done unfairly. It was done intentional. And it was done to keep us separated and divided.
Wow. Okay. Well, everybody else had final comments. Go ahead and make yours so we can get out of here. Final comments from you, Wayne.
Final comments. We still haven't addressed the police oversight because we know that was a sham from the word go. There's been no economic empowerment for minority-owned businesses, particularly not black-owned businesses in a black community. That we're still living in food deserts, but there are options out there that we can become food sovereignties. And we can get, anybody want to get with me on that, I can talk, give you the name and number of the people we can get to where we can start dealing with that. Housing and education. Those things we still are looking at. We know that, like you said, can't grow no more land, but if you get your hands on some, what you going to do with the land you got? So there are things that we can do within our community to where we can maximize the little bit that we do have to where we can have a larger populace to where we can make an impact in this city.
Wonderful. Thank you. Listen, y'all, another great show. I want to thank my guests tonight, Wayman Brown, Michael Kakaris, Antonio Twin, Harris, and Bob Willoughby for chiming in on all these topics tonight. Listen, we want to tell the council they're back August 2nd, 2022. Welcome back. This is what we couldn't say to you when we come down to speak because we either get cut off or we get the marshals, you know, to escort us out, or basically we're treated rudely. So tonight was our attempt to say, this is what we think about what's going on downtown. We want to thank you, the audience, for listening tonight. Next time, bring a friend, bring a neighbor, bring a coworker, and tell them Let's Talk Footwork comes on every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Listen, also, consider advertising or being a sponsor here on Let's Talk Footwork. If you have a product, a service, a nonprofit, a church, an event, or a campaign that you want some exposure for, drop me a line at letstalkfootwork@aol.com. That's letstalkfootwork@aol.com. And I would love to talk to you about our rate, and we will work with you to get your ad here on the show. Also, if you have a show idea, drop us a line at letstalkfootwork@aol.com. That's letstalkfootwork@aol.com. We also have a street team if your story is one in which they need to come to you. We can get that arranged as well. Also, follow us on Facebook at Let's Talk Fort Worth. Let's Talk Fort Worth has a Facebook page, a very informative Facebook page, in fact. So we ask that you follow us on Facebook. Also, y'all, an update. A couple of weeks ago, we covered the Gregory Travis Corley case. Remember, Mr. Corley was being detained, or he was in jail in Denton County, unable to get out. His family reached out to the show and asked us if we could help. We did a show on Gregory Corley. We made a lot of phone calls. We sent press releases. We did a lot of things, y'all. We made a lot of strides toward getting him out, and we are thankful to say he is out. I've spoken with Gregory since he has been free, and he is about to embark upon the surgery, which is a new chapter for him. So we ask that you pray for him, but we are so proud of the work that we did to help Gregory get out because we absolutely did not want to see him die in Denton County needing to have his arm amputated and them not do the right thing. So we are very proud of what we did to help Gregory. Also, City Council, again, like I said, they're back August 2nd, 2022. That's public comment night. Thomas Trollenkazi is asking everybody to either call in or speak in person at City Council that particular night. So if you have the time and it fits in your schedule, please go down to City Council August 2nd, 2022 at 6 p.m. That's when the council returns from vacation. Okay, y'all, until next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Good night.